Welcome to ING's Think Aloud with me, Rebecca Byrne. In today's episode...
75 basis point in an increase is not something the committee is actively considering. And we've said that, again, assuming that economic and financial conditions evolve in ways that are consistent with our expectations, there's a broad sense on the committee that additional 50 basis point increase should be on the table for the next couple of meetings.
Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell this week announced the biggest hike in interest rates in 20 years and said the central bank will make similar moves in the coming months as US inflation sits at the highest level in 40 years while unemployment is close to record lows. Powell's admission that moves of 75 basis points are not being actively considered, along with assurances that the economy is strong enough to withstand a series of rate hikes, initially sent US stocks higher. But the relief rally was short-lived, as expectations for aggressive tightening continue to raise the spectre of recession. But can a crash landing be avoided? ING's international economist James Knightley is hopeful it can. James, even though Powell said the bank isn't actively considering 75 basis points at the next meeting, the Fed continued to signal a pretty significant amount of tightening over the coming months. What are you expecting this year?
We had been thinking that a 75 basis point was going to be possible at some point. After all, we've got an economy that is growing, even though the GDP number didn't show it growing. I think that was down to the vagaries of trade and inventories. The underlying story on domestic demand is still really quite robust. So that's a good tick for higher interest rates. And at the same time, inflation is running at 8.5%, which is a 40-year high. And of course, we've got a jobs market that's red hot. Unemployment is around 3.5 percentage points. So this all points to the need to get monetary policy conditions in a much tighter environment to try and get a grip on this inflation story. So we had been thinking 75 basis points was possible at some points, but Jerome Powell has kind of downplayed that possibility. So we're looking at 50 basis point hikes at June, July, September. And then we think that we're probably going to get the Fed scaling that back to, say, maybe 25 basis point hikes in November and December, and possibly early next year, once this quantitative tightening, this running off of the Fed's balance sheet gets underway. So it's a two-pronged approach from the Fed, higher interest rates at the short end of the yield curve, and then, of course, also trying to shrink the balance sheet as well, which would, you think, keep an upward pressure on longer-dated borrowing costs in the US economy.
One concern, though, is that rate hikes are quite a blunt instrument when it comes to managing inflation. And it's been increasing to some extent because of higher commodity prices and supply chain disruptions, things which the Fed really has no control over. So will raising rates really work?
Yeah, I mean, certainly higher energy costs, higher fuel costs, supply chain strains have all been putting up the cost of doing business, and that's been translated and passed on to customers as well. But I think where the US differs somewhat from what we're seeing in Europe is that there's really quite strong domestic demand as well. We've got a red hot jobs market, as I mentioned earlier, and that means that wages are really picking up too. So in a strong demand environment, corporates have actually got corporate pricing power. So therefore, they can pass a lot of these costs on to customers. So it's not just a supply shock, you know, higher petrol prices or higher utility bills. There's really broad-based price pressures here in the United States. So I think that justifies perhaps swifter, perhaps more aggressive interest rate hikes from the US Federal Reserve.
There's also been some concern, though, that the Fed might make a mistake and go too far in tightening policy, possibly tipping the US into recession. GDP did contract in the first quarter, although at the same time, of course, the overall level of rates is still low historically. So how likely is a recession in your view?
Well, we do worry about a slowdown and, you know, even acknowledge there is a recession risk by the nature of the Federal Reserve moving swifter and more aggressively. You're going to get into restrictive territory. And when you move into restrictive territory, i.e. interest rates move above what we might term as being neutral for an economy, then there's a greater chance of an adverse reaction and an economic slowdown. Now, we are hopeful that that can be avoided because, of course, you have got such a strong domestic story. But we're also hopeful that these external factors that you've already mentioned, the supply chain issues, the geopolitical tensions which are pushing up energy prices, well, we're hopeful that they may start to subside over the next, say, 12 to 24 months. And that can do or it can make the job easier for the Federal Reserve. So, you know, you could argue we're painting a very benign Goldilocks picture here, but I think there's a reasonable chance of that being the outcome. That is indeed our base case. You get the Federal Reserve moving into restrictive territory. That does take some of the heat out of the US economy, but then also external factors come to the aid of the Federal Reserve and ease those sort of more global price pressure stories. And that means we don't need to see the Federal Reserve going up perhaps as aggressively, say the 5 or 6 percentage points level of interest rates that some are potentially calling for.
Well, just on those external factors, you know, the Fed did comment a little bit about the risks posed by the war in Ukraine and the new lockdowns in China. But how important really is the international backdrop to the Fed? How do these things really factor into policymaking?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, geopolitical tensions, seeing how much it costs to fill up the gas tank in your car, these all weigh on consumer confidence and do make people uneasy and unsettled. And that is, I think, a key reason why the Fed is somewhat nervous. The concern about potential adverse reaction in an environment where interest rates are being raised as well. So that is acting as a brake on economic activity. But, you know, the Fed is the US central bank. It's got to focus on the domestic story. So while these external factors are important, you know, you look at the underlying picture of inflation at 40-year highs, a really tight jobs market, corporate pricing power is there in abundance. The Fed does need to take some of the steam out of the economy. So, yeah, external factors are clearly important, but the domestic story is the biggest issue for the Fed, and that's what they're really, really going to be focusing on.
Larry Summers has said that the terminal rate for Fed funds, or the level where rates should end up in this cycle, should be between 4 and 5%. What do you see as the end point?
That is a possible scenario. You know, if the external environment doesn't come to the aid of the Fed, you see energy prices continuing, you see supply chain strains continuing to put up costs for business as well, freight charges remain elevated. And you continue to see strong corporate pricing power and a strong domestic economy, you can certainly make the case for rates getting up to those sorts of levels. We are a little bit more cautious. We think that, yes, rates are going to be raised, but we're more in a sort of 3 to 3.5% level. We think a lot of the heavy lifting in terms of monetary policy tightening is being done by the long end of the curve, because, of course, what's happening in the US housing market? Well, mortgage rates have risen substantially at the start of the year. A typical 30-year fixed rate mortgage in America was, you'll be borrowing at about 3.3 percentage points. That'll be your interest rate charge. Today, we're up above 5.5%. That's been a substantial increase in the cost of borrowing. And the Fed has only done a 25 basis point hike followed by a 50 basis point hike. So, as I say, you know, we're already seeing a reaction at the long end of the market, which is driving borrowing costs more broadly in the economy. And if we do also get more favorable external forces, i.e. those energy prices coming down, the supply chain strains easing, again, that does a lot of the work for the Fed, or makes the Fed's job easier. So if we are correct in assuming that we will see some help from those factors, combined with higher borrowing costs already being felt in the US economy, we may not need to see such a high terminal rate for US interest rates.
Now, historically, there have only been a few months between the Fed raising rates and cutting them again. Would it not make more sense for this time for the Fed to just not raise rates so much in the first place?
Yeah, that's another point that some other people make. You know, you've got Larry Summers on one end, you've got plenty of other people on the other end, which say, well, you know, the US economy is already showing signs of slowing. Borrowing costs have already risen in the economy just by nature of the way that US borrowing costs work. You know, the long end of the yield curve in the US does drive a lot of broader borrowing costs that consumers and corporates feel. So some of the heavy lifting has already been done. That perhaps necessitates less aggressive rate hikes. So, yeah, that is a scenario. But again, we are somewhere in the middle. We think a combination of these things is driving. And that's why we've got this sort of, say, 3 to 3.5% terminal rate. But as you say, the Fed doesn't tend to leave it long before cutting rates again. Between 1970 and 2000, the average period of time between the last rate hike in a cycle and the first rate cut was only about 3 months. You know, once you move into restrictive territory and you've got the economy slowing, historically, inflation has tended to move lower and move lower quite quickly. So the Fed has moved more to a neutral footing relatively swiftly. Over the last 20 years, it's been perhaps a little bit longer, but then again, we've only had three rate cutting cycles over the last 20 years. We haven't got much history to go on, really. But, you know, we would still imagine that once the Fed has moved into restricted territory, we've got the evidence of the slowdown, we've got inflation moving lower, the Fed will want to move away from that restrictive policy stance and move to a more neutral footing. So, yep, we are forecasting the Fed's rate to peak in the first quarter of next year, but we certainly believe there's a very strong chance that we could see rate cuts before the end of 2023.
Okay, ING's international economist James Knightley, thanks very much.
Thank you.
This podcast has been prepared by ING solely for information purposes, irrespective of a particular user's means, financial situation, or investment objective. The information does not constitute investment recommendation, nor is it investment, legal, or tax advice, or an offer or solicitation to purchase or sell any financial instrument. Read more at think.ing.com/content-disclaimer.